reflect those of 55KRC, the talk station, and iHeart radio station.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. And now, here's your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, photos, videos, arguments, other things at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Coasting with me, Agnes is stuffed unicorn because Melody's not here, and Agnes doesn't say very much, so you guys are stuck with me tonight. But hey, guess what? This segment brought to you by Lucky Gunner and Federal Premium Ammunition. Whether there was a firefight or you do, in fact, want to worry about that little guy, you need more ammo. And when it's time to restock, you can't beat Federal Premium Ammunition at LuckyGunner.com. With a shipping department that's always moving at 88 miles per hour, if I order a case of American Eagle from Lucky Gunner on a Thursday, it's at my doorstep ready to shoot before the weekend starts. Head to LuckyGunner.com today to check out their in-stock lineup of Federal Premium Ammunition. And remember, unless you're on fire or drowning or in some other situation that I have not foreseen, you can never have too much ammo. I mean, maybe if you're the UPS delivery guy. I don't know. Anyway, super, super excited because joining us tonight, his first appearance on the show, it's Tom from Darkstar Gear. Tom, how's it going, man?
It's going great. We started the weekend off a little rainy and miserable, and it is currently gorgeous. Got the smoker going with some chicken for the week.
Well, hey, there you go. So I've been using your stuff for ever now. But for those that don't know or are just tuning in or have not followed me or you on Facebook, who are you and what does Darkstar Gear do?
I am just a dude from Pittsburgh. We make holsters.
That's holsters. The best you got? We make holsters? Come on, Tom.
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. Holsters, mag pouches, sheaths, and so on. Try to come up with some intelligently designed, functional stuff, you know, as basically, you know, start with the root of the problem, work outward. You know, not necessarily trendy, just, you know, functional is trendy.
Well, so, and now I know I've been using your stuff for, what, 6 years now? 5, 6 years now?
Before you had the show.
Jeez. So 6 years, 7 years, something like that.
Something like that.
I don't know that a lot of people realize this, but you were like the second or third dude that started making appendix specific holsters, weren't you? Like AIWB specific holsters? What's kind of like the history there?
Somewhere around there. I know, you know, Custom Carry Concepts most assuredly has, you know, the first, you know, purpose-built, you know, appendix inside the waistband Kydex holster with appendix specific features. Mine came, you know, is one of those things. You look at something and you want to tweak it and you can't leave well enough alone, and that's kind of where I got rolling, was an adaptation of their design.
Right. Now, so you're and without getting into too much detail, but you're an engineer by trade?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I'm mechanical in the nuclear industry.
Nice.
Which sounds a lot cooler than it really is.
Well, all I know is that what that in practice means is that when we start a project, the development cycle on it is, in the case of Rampage, infinitely long. So, but I mean, that's kind of cool though, because you don't just settle for good enough, right?
No, it's painful at times to, you know, to see some new guns come out and not have anything for it when everybody's jumping on it, but you know, every new gun has its own kind of unique problem, and, you know, there is a lot of carryover from A to B to C, but, you know, every time we do something new, you know, I mean, people's lives depend on it. You know, a lot of good guys and girls are out there recommending my stuff, so I got to make sure, you know, not only lives up to my name, but their name as well. So, you know, we try to do as best we can. I got a lot of friends, you among them, that helped me break stuff and find problems with it before, you know, so nobody gets something that they're going to have an issue with.
Well, so I'm just super scared that the only reason you kept me around was, like, for your fat guy R&D testing, and now that that has changed, that you're going to kick me to the curb and find, like, another fat guy to love. So I'm
we'll
just,
see how that works out.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll send you some extra lemon heads.
Ooh. Yeah, that wouldn't be the way to get me to cheat. But so I guess let me ask you this. We got about 4 minutes left in this segment, and we'll talk about I guess a couple of different things. But what do you think the big misconceptions are for someone that is deciding they're going to carry a gun and they're looking for a holster and they're super concerned about what gun they should get and size and comfort and all that? What do you think some of the base assumptions people are starting with that are maybe wrong?
Various carry methods are, you know, there's, depending on whatever shop you go to, you're going to have, you know, old wives' tales, rules of thumb, and so on. This is uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable. This is what you need. That's what you need. This is the gun you need. You know, there's just too much junk out there. You know, opinions not necessarily based on experience or based on good experience. A lot of people will slam. Now, you know, for a new shooter, appendix carry may not be the way to go.
Right.
But, you know, whenever you got somebody saying, yeah, appendix carry is not very comfortable, and they haven't tried anything that was really purpose-built, or they've tried something that was claimed to be purpose-built and just not a very good design, you know, that's not a valid experience to really, you know, rule something out on.
Right. Right. Well, and it seems like, too, so I have, it appears that one of my hobbies is now taking pictures of carrying firearms various places, generally in one of your holsters, and then making the internet mad with said pictures because, you know, I carry AIWB for the most part. And people say stuff like, well, that can't be comfortable, or I don't know how you sit down or anything like that. We got like 2 minutes left before I've got to interrupt you for the break, but as far as AIWB goes, what are some general rules of thumb to help make that easier?
So you want a holster that is, our baseline is G19 length or longer.
Mm-hmm.
The shorter you go, once you go under G19 length, what happens is there's a corner that your belt pulls in. So if you take that corner on, you know, and say like a G26, we live in a Glock world, so we'll use Glock numbers. You take a G26, which is a small, tiny gun, you know, everybody thinks that's perfect for concealed carry, and you put a belt over top of that, the belt is going to pull the corner of the muzzle right into you.
Mm-hmm.
If you put it in a G19 holster, for a lot of people, that's going to be very helpful, but most are still going to have that corner touching them. If you put it into a G17 holster, that's going to go and replace the corner with a flat spot because the corner is now in dead space. So using a holster that's longer is probably the easiest way to go. You know, we would call that a muzzle extension on something like our Shield G43 Walther PPS holsters, the Hitchhiker. You know, those are all, we'll get probably about 5 or 10 emails a week. Hey, my holster is longer than the gun. And, you know, talk with the customer and work things out. And a week after that, you're like, that all makes sense.
And it seems like, too, that, see, we've got an awkward amount of time because there's like, 23 seconds left before the commercial break. So I'm just going to eat this time up right now, surreptitiously, though, so no one notices. It seems like, too, that that's like one of the big carryovers from people that carry strong side. It's like, oh, I want a shorter gun. I want a shorter gun. Anyway, we're talking with Tom from Darkstar Gear about AIWB stuff and other things. And right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio.
Wow.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatterguns since 1977. A legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories, as well as the EDC X9, which offers discriminating shooters 1911 match-grade accuracy, superior ergonomics, and concealability with modern service, pistol capacity, and reliability at www.wilsoncombat.com. So we are talking with Tom from Darkstar Gear. And Tom, I have managed to remember how the phone systems work and so far not hung up on you, which is actually an awesome accomplishment for me. But before the break, we were talking about kind of rules of thumb for AIWB. And something that you had brought up is that a longer muzzle length actually seems to be more effective as far as comfort and concealability goes.
Yeah. So right before we got off, I was saying pretty much the longer the better. The caveat to that is until you get to a point where it's too long. And when you consider, you know, consider the pants you're wearing, consider the pants that your girlfriend wears, and the amount of space from the, you know, where the legs meet and the waistband. So, you know, while it's easy for you and I to carry in a G34 length holster, and currently with, you know, fluctuating weight, I'm in a 34 holster and it works better than the 17 does. You know, there's not a lot of women that have room in their pants for a 34 holster. And if they do, it looks like they got the G34 in their pants.
Right.
So that's kind of, you know, why we settle on G19 length works for most. And on the small autos, that's been probably, you know, probably the sweet spot.
Right. Well, I mean, so if Melody were here, this is where she'd point out that she's carrying in, like, your new Rigel holster trimmed down for a 17-length slide and, you know, stuff like that. So it kind of depends. There is some variability there depending on individuals case by case.
Yeah.
So I guess my next question is going to be, what is my next question going to be? So one of the big ones seems to be, and we'll sort of go back to holster construction, what makes a good AIWB holster. But one of the things that I run into a lot is that guys that switch from, you know, traditional strong side carry or open carry in like a duty belt or whatever, have kind of like an idea of what a good belt is or isn't. And my personal experience has been somewhat different, but what do you think about that?
I like a really, really flexible belt. You know, that was something in trial and error. You know, back, I found the best luck with a, you know, a classic menswear leather belt that wasn't gun belt thick. It was just a single layer leather, and it was flexible to let the at the time it was a belt wedge. It was flexible enough to conform to the belt wedge and allow that particular feature to function. It was vertically rigid enough to support everything in the pants that I was wearing and not a whole lot more. So, you know, it's generally, I'll get a lot of emails. You know, I've got brand X. I think it sucks. What do you have? Why is yours better? And, you know, those kind of inquiries are generally met with, well, what's the whole, you know, what's your whole setup? What are you using? Why is it not working? And more often than not, we actually wind up, you know, with them going to Walmart and getting a, you know, getting a Dickies belt for $10 and saying, hey, actually worked out pretty well. Sorry to bother you.
Right. Well, and so I've experimented around with that. I personally, so I use Voland stuff. I've been a big fan of like the Voland Gearworks Slim and, depending on various different styles, his new Biothane ones are cool if you're into, the Biothane stuff.
I don't have one of those. I've probably got almost as many belts from, Voland as you do. I was a very early adopter. I actually had to, pester him to sell me a belt whenever, before he had the page.
That's funny.
Whenever there was the G hook, because, you know, the infinite adjustability at the time, you know, whenever that popped up, that was a, you know, something I needed.
Well, and so back, this is going to turn into a, hey, remember when, because back, I've just now kind of realized this, but, you know, I think that Todd was probably in the the first wave AIWB proponents, and I think that you could make a strong case to say that he was the number one reason why that saw a resurgence when it did. But then, like, kind of the second wave proponents, like, so people that sort of came from Todd's kung fu, I guess. It's interesting to have been involved in that as far as, like, the second generation guys almost. But I was going to say, because, like, I remember there weren't a whole lot of holster options, number one. There weren't a whole lot of belt options, number two, for infinite adjustability. And pretty much the only option at the time was, like, the Wilderness.
It's actually a belt that I will go back and forth on. It just works.
Right. The belt buckle was kind of bigger than I want. And so we're going to, like, delve into, like, minutiae here and stuff like that. But let's kind of back up a little bit and get into stuff other people other than nerds might be interested in. Not that we're nerds. And
not at all.
Not that I asked you to make a keyboard case for me earlier today or anything like that.
Not that I said I'm going to have to buy one after getting yours.
No. Yeah, no. Anyway, so I guess let's just back up a little bit. What makes a good AIWB holster? I mean, so I'm going to assume if you bring these features up, there are things that your holster does, but you'd be the first to say there are other holsters that work better for people depending on a whole bunch of things that are not easy to predict. So just in general, what are people looking for?
So it's really boiled down to four distinct features. You have the muzzle extension we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for your small semi-autos, that's you need a custom mold for that. For something like a G19, you just get a bigger holster. Next, you have a belt wedge.
So when you say when you say bigger holster, do you mean something like a G17 holster?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, G17, G34 length holster.
Okay.
Next is going to be your belt wedge, which, as best I can tell, originated with Custom Carry Concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be like a small doorstop kind of looking shape that rotates the grip inward. Then from there goes to like a wing or a claw, which instead of something jammed up underneath the belt, it'll trail behind the holster and act as a lever. Both of those features, the belt wedge and the wing or the claw, are relying on the belt to work, which is what makes something like the belt, makes it a critical component. And then a muzzle wedge or muzzle pad, depending on, what holster you have. Some of them have the Filster Classics and the Spotlights have, a formed in, kind of ergonomic pad. The first time I remember seeing something like that was the Garrity Invictus with a leather holster, had, jokingly, like a little ravioli sewn into it.
Mm-hmm. Is there any predictor, I guess, for what's going to be useful for certain people or not useful for other people? Or as far as like which, because all of those in combination does not necessarily equal, oh, this is going to be awesome, right?
No, it's largely build dependent. If you're the average male with a little bit thicker chest than waist, even with a little bit of a gut or, belly, you can typically have your choice of features and kind of balance out comfort from there. But, one thing to look out for, and one of the reasons why I kind of deviated from the belt wedge at the time was, with a claw, it's one, you can take the claw off the holster and use it as a traditional straight drop IWB, something like a Summer Special.
Right.
Probably the original appendix holster. The more aggressive your belt wedge, the thicker the holster. So if you're a tall, lanky dude or a female, it's really hard to hide, what looks like a colostomy bag underneath your belt.
Right. So that's been really weird for me. So right now I'm wearing a size 34, and I went from a size 44. So everything I knew about, like, what I could carry and how I could carry it and how I like the holster to be set up and stuff like that has radically changed in the last, like, 9 months or so. And we got about 30 seconds left, but...
So I can probably finish some of this off. So as you get, you know, as you get skinnier, you need to, trend more towards a claw. But as you, as you get larger, you're afforded more opportunity to go with a belt wedge, muzzle wedge, and so on. And what we're really trying to do is we're trying to use the belt and or a pad to not only manipulate the muzzle, to help aid in some safety, but also manipulate the grip to aid in concealment.
Makes sense.
And all those things.
Hold that thought, because we got to go to break. We're talking with Tom from Darkstar Gear. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. This segment also brought to you by Surefire. Know your target and what is beyond it. But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it, and that's where Surefire comes in. From the 1200 lumen EDCL 2T handheld or 500 lumen EDCL 1T handheld to the 1000 lumen XH35 or the brand new upgraded 1000 lumen X300 fits in all your old X300U holsters, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell Aziz light ever again. Surefire, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. So, we're talking with Tom from Darkstar Gear, and I interrupted you right as you were about to finish a thought, and I apologize. I'm so sorry, Tom. So very sorry.
I thought I had it nailed down. To summarize everything, what a good appendix holster and a belt is going to wind up doing is it's going to manipulate the grip to not print. It's going to manipulate the muzzle to try to keep things pointed in a safe place. And it's going to do that while, not bouncing around too much and, maintaining a stable position and, most of all, staying comfortable.
Right. So as far as... I know we've sort of already belabored this point a little bit, but I just for the people that have missed it, so starting out with like a G42 or G43 size gun and saying, I'm going to appendix carry this, maybe not the way to go?
Probably not. It's most people are best served with a larger, more shootable gun. Get the fundamentals down,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of go from there and choose a gun based on your needs and capabilities.
Okay. So what else? We sort of talked about appendix holsters, but what else are you kind of interested in as far as problem solving goes? I mean, I know I kind of made a joke about a keyboard case, which actually I'm not joking about. I totally want one. Because my co-host has converted me to a mechanical keyboard.
I've been putting that off for years simply because I don't want to have one that I take with me in a bag. I don't want to have one at work. I don't want to have one at home. And, of course, I'm not going to like just some basic $50 mechanical keyboard. It's going to be a couple hundred dollars.
I don't know, man. The one that was recommended to me was pretty affordable. Certainly not a couple hundred dollars. And so far, so good. So... I mean, I don't know. But so what other problems are you interested in solving? I feel like you've got the AIWB holster thing down. You've got the AIWB holster with weapon mounted light thing down. What about an RMR or an optic on the slide? I know there's not a ton of difference as far as that goes, but there is some difference. Is that kind of something that you're thinking about working more towards, or what have you got, I guess?
As far as holster-wise?
Yeah, or just stuff that you want to work on, as far as what problems are Darkstar Gear going to solve, or what problems do you think need to be solved that not enough people are talking about?
So we just actually put out the Koala Mag Pouch, mm-hmm. Kind of a design that I've been avoiding for... 2 or 3 years because it has so many holes and I was afraid how it was going to be received. And, thus far, Most of the customers that actually ordered one wound up ordering additional ones. Half the orders that went out today were repeat Koala customers. Mm-hmm. So that to me is pretty telling.
For those that don't know, so the Koala is an AIWB, so appendix inside the waistband, though I guess it would actually be more like spleen inside the waistband. God, I hope I didn't just get my anatomy wrong. Magazine carrier. So,
and the interesting thing about that is, you know, one of the issues I've had in the past, and I don't know why it never really occurred to me, you know, in dry fire, I'm still mixed on, you know, location. You know, do I want to go 11 o'clock or, you know, 8 o'clock for my reload? But one of the reasons why I didn't do IWB so much was because the 8 o'clock, you know, my left side, you know, strong side, or off side, mag pouch, it was just, you know, very, very pokey and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, you know, I kind of accidentally, you know, principles that, you know, length, moving the corner lower, you know, the Koala tends to work out pretty well there. So that's making, it's coming down for me, you know, that particular problem is I'm going to have to move it around based on, you know, cover garment clearing. I'm finding that, you know, under a timer, I think I'd prefer, you know, left side for, you know, just because it's easier to clear the garment. It doesn't hang up as much on me.
Right. Well, so for me, so one of the reasons why I would carry a reload, and I'd carry a reload at 3 o'clock, or excuse me, at 9 o'clock, sort of like traditional strong side reload, or maybe bump it forward a little bit. But when I was carrying extra weight around, the extra weight would Dunlop over my belt and start pressing the magazine outboard and start essentially breaking mag carriers after a long enough period of time. When I lost weight and I tried to carry a reload, it was incredibly obvious that I was carrying something there if I carried it traditionally. And the Koala is interesting just because it actually, if anything, balances out the shape of the gun and makes things, as far as, you know, there's an object on one side. Now with this magazine pouch, the belt sort of lays a little bit more evenly and it's less noticeable. Even concealed, is that been kind of some of the feedback you've been getting?
Yeah, it's that's another thing I didn't necessarily expect, but it'll also do is, you know, if you put the mag pouch in at the left side, what it does is it kind of, you know, bridges the belt and relieves some tension that wraps across the slide.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some people are finding that they like that. I've had a couple customers been able to go and have attached a foam pad to the holster. They've actually emailed me and mentioned that, you know, they're no longer using the pad.
Nice. Nice. So what other things are you sort of considering? I mean, you've got, we got about 4 minutes left. You've got a new gamer holster coming out, right?
Yeah. It's still working on a name. I think we're going to call it the Osiris. It is.
I still say you should call it the Cygnus X1 for reasons that are totally not because of Rush, because nerd. Anyway, sorry, continue.
So, you know, while for me it's because I want to have something of my own to use to shoot USPSA and IDPA, you know, the base of the design is just going to be a solid, proven, you know, overtly worn OWB, you know, a taco style as opposed to a pancake style.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how you use it's going to be more, you know, how you use it's going to depend more on the on your mount. So if you're going to use something like a boss hanger in play production, you use a tech lock, play IDPA. You want to use a tech lock and create like a foul weather, you know, a foul weather training, you know, setup, you know, where, you know, what we're getting into now, actually, you guys were in a class a couple weekends ago with a lot of rain.
Yes.
Learning to shoot a pistol with soaking wet concealment garments is just not the way to go. So, you know, sometimes you need extra gear. So having an option for that, you know, I got a few supported instructors and supported shooters that need stuff like that, and it's nice to be able to offer it to them.
I so want to get into that, but I'm not going to right now because, yeah. So you used a word that I like a lot as far as supported goes. But is there anything kind of interesting about the gamer holster that's maybe not typically found in some of the other offerings? You're like,
not really sure.
You're like desperately going, what's he asking me about? And what I'm trying to say is yours looks nicer than a lot of the other ones that I've seen.
Yeah, so I like our kind of clean, classic look. You know, there are some injection molded holsters. There are some other holsters out there that are fine. You know, continue to suggest them. You can get a really decent holster for $20.
Right.
Off of Amazon Prime, you could order it and have it by Tuesday morning. That's what I'm actually trying to replace.
Right.
You know, it's kind of lame showing up and not using your own gear and instead using something from Amazon like that. But, you know, wanted to have all our stuff ready so we could offer just a nice clean-looking holster that's appearance is congruent with the rest of our line.
Right. Here, I'm going to ask you a question, but we've only got about a minute and 20 seconds left, so it'll sort of segue into the next segment. What do you think the biggest, I guess, drawback is as far as some of the advice that we, as people that train and really go out of our way to carry stuff, is to regular folks? Like, is there any advice that we give that's just like, this makes sense for a hobbyist but not anybody else? Or what are your thoughts on that in 45 seconds, and then we'll keep going?
I think a lot of us tend to overlook how much time we're willing to dedicate to that than others maybe. You know, I certainly, you know, when I started getting into training and stuff like that, I never imagined I'd be this far deep, you know, into, you know, I try to go to jiu-jitsu a couple times a week. I don't shoot nearly as often as I like to, but, you know, I'd like to shoot a couple times a month. I do dry fire, you know, at least every other day. I'm not going to say I do it every day, but, you know, at least every other day.
Well, hold that thought. So we're at dry fire, and then we'll pick right back up. We're talking with Tom from Darkstar Gear. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. This segment brought to you by BigTexOutdoors.com. BigTexOutdoors.com is the best place for you to find all of your everyday carry needs at the absolute best prices. Maybe you need all the lumens from Surefire at the lowest price? No problem. Spend too much time alone in your room and need an RMR now? BigTexOutdoors.com has those. Glock accessories? Yes! Fast, cheap shipping, 100% hassle-free returns, all that and more. And best of all, BigTexOutdoors.com has Ike. He's a good man and thorough. I like Ike. Everybody likes Ike. And you'll like Ike, too. Visit BigTexOutdoors.com today and find out what happens when every customer is a friend, not just an order. So, we're talking with Tom from Darkstar Gear, and I realize that I'm incredibly brave, Tom. Do you know why?
Why is that?
I took a drink of my White Monster energy right as the bumper music started playing. And I realized to myself, with no co-host in the room, now would be a really bad time to choke. So luckily, I persevered and I did not roll a one. So anyway, before the break, you were saying you try and dry fire every day. You were making the general statement about the amount of time you spend all this. And then I had to interrupt you to pay for the show. I apologize.
Yeah, no, this venture has become a costly endeavor, both time, money, travel, you know, trying to keep up going to classes, ammo, buying stuff because we all like to buy stuff.
Yeah, you know.
Buying knives I don't need.
I mean, you might want to support those one day. You never know. So, I you know, as far as making a sheath for them. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's, I try to train, you know, 2 days a week. That's the last couple months. It hasn't worked out. You know, it's pretty much the story of my life. The dry fire, you know, cert will I got a dedicated dry fire Glock. Picked up a Wilson 92 Beretta so that we can start offering holsters for those. And having a DASA gun is rather nice when it comes to dry fire. I don't have to, I can be lazy and get my reps in.
Right. Right. Well, so, and it seems like a lot of people, I was having this conversation with Melody, I can't remember when, but, you know, a lot of the, let me ask you this, a lot of the advice that we give sort of comes from the, it depends, because it does depend, it really does. There's so many variables, it's very hard to give like a, here's what you should do, bam, done. But
yeah,
do you think that that's in the long run maybe not as helpful as we think it is, because most people just want an answer and aren't going to spend the time?
Yes and no. I'd say one of the, you know, we see all these different threads pop up online, and, you know, just among the people that we run with, you know, I'm going to advise based on my personal experience and then the balance of customer experience. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have a wide range of people there. But then, you know, the echo chamber, you're going to have people that are just slightly different with advice that is good, but it's almost overwhelming. You know, so what I'll often tell people is just pick one person, just listen to that person. They're not going to be wrong for them. You know, follow their solution from start to finish and get your own experience and kind of adjust from there. And then revisit all the other feedback and, you know, when you can identify what's not happening for you that you wish was, or what is happening that you don't want to have happen, you know, go back and look at all that advice that you ignored prior, and, you know, the pieces should start falling together.
Right. Right. So let me ask you this. So we've been spending most of the time talking about compact to full-size guns, so G19 and G17, G34. I happen to be, I'm sure that any moment I will be waylaid in the thoroughfare, or in my case, attacked by ninjas in the radio station studio, but, carrying a 7-shot 22 Magnum right now in gym shorts. So that's something else too, that you're kind of, working on as well, is pretty much being able to carry anywhere at any time in any mode of dress, or kind of
more guns in more places, asterisk, don't break any laws.
Right. No, don't do
no,
that.
Yeah. We've had the snubby holster for probably longer than we've had some appendix stuff. And we're in the process. We updated the J frame earlier this year to go and, you know, kind of look like we made it. You know, when you look at the Orion and the Rigel, you know, the rounded features and so on, that wasn't necessarily present in our snubby holsters. So we've did the J-frame for 2.5 inch. We got a 3-inch, which is actually going to be 3.25. And then we've been offering the LCR 3-inch for a while now. We need to revise that one and then start looking at the SP-101, the K6S, and maybe the Colt Cobra.
Well, I'm totally happy to hear that your J-frame holster will support my oddball 3.2-inch 337 titanium Smith & Wesson, because I'd be super sad if it didn't. So thank you, Tom. Thank you for thinking of me. We got about 3.5 minutes left, maybe 3 minutes left, something like that. If people want to try appendix carrying for whatever reason, they think you and I on air together are annoying and don't want to buy something from you, where are some other places that they could look? And then tell them how to buy your stuff, too.
So, big fan of the Filster stuff. You know, Filster, PHLSTR.com. He supports, I think now, currently, a few more options than what I do. They're all, you know, supports all the viable guns. JM Custom has some good stuff. Keeper's Concealment. You know, all of those are the, you know, I know myself, Spencer, and JM probably going to be, you know, came sometime after Custom Carry Concepts with, you know, our interpretations of the wedge-based design, and then, you know, moved on to various other designs.
So as far as I thought you were going somewhere else with that. And I'm like, you just ended. And I'm like, darn, Tom, don't do that. If people, what's your web address and stuff like that?
Darkstargear.com.
Okay.
You know, our flagship holster is the Orion. So we're going to have to actually got some new models coming out for that, the 320, the 92s, maybe some CZ stuff. So we're going to have to tweak that. So you should be able to go to darkstargear.com/Orion at some point in time in the near future.
Nice. And if somebody wants to try appendix carry for the first time and they're like, I just don't know what to do, what would you just top three things to tell them real quick in the next 60 seconds? And then I'll let you alone and you can get back to your nap.
I would get a good holster. I would get probably a Glock 19 with a Tau development group striker fire or striker control device.
Yep.
Practice a lot dry. Look the gun into the holster. Make sure you got a belt that allows your appendix carry features to work, so something relatively flexible. And just, you know, don't be afraid to practice it dry. Go slow, deliberate. You know, give yourself a hard break, a mental pause prior, you know, to doing anything that might have a gun pointed close to you.
Right. And I have actually put videos out, too. If you guys are interested, you can go to the Facebook page. I actually put a video out titled How Not to Shoot Yourself in the Junk or something like that. I'd have to go and look. But it's completely possible to reholster, even as a big dude, because I was a big dude when I did the video, without pointing the gun at yourself, which I think is kind of super important. But cannot recommend Tom enough. You know, full disclosure, we're friends. I think you sponsored the show like 4 years ago.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's been a minute, right? But he's a good dude, and he takes us pretty seriously, so something to consider. Anyway, Tom, you enjoy the rest of your evening. Give my best to your better half, and I'll talk to you soon, brother, okay?
All right, later.
All right, be safe. So anyway, that's it. That's the end of the show, guys. I managed to not mess up too bad. My first live show in a super long time. And hey, look, there's the music. Remember, you can always listen to past episodes at ballisticradio.com, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. And hey, keep leaving those 5-star review on iTunes. Please, really helps us out. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.
I always get calls about removing layers of paint from old furniture doors.